It was supposed to be a first-year anniversary celebration for players of the record-breaking mobile game Pokemon Go. But instead, the attendees found themselves at the festival unlocking the 9th level of hell.
Slow internet access, swarms of people, and Chicago's steamy summer heat did not make for a happy crowd who had no qualms about booing at the CEO, Fix Your App. Today, comedian Cody Melcher, one of the admins for the Chicago Pokemon Go Facebook group, joins us to find out how the gaming festival turned into a disaster, with people waiting 20 minutes in line just to escape the mess.
Plus, which major cities in the U.S. have the biggest dongs?
How little does it take for President Trump to block you on Twitter?
Will wig bombing become the new summer craze?
There's always room for J-Lo's gender nonconforming family.
And rock legend Alice Cooper finds an old Andy Warhol painting in his garage. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Looking for the right t-shirt to wear during your workout at the gym? Check out our store at feastoffun.com/store for an incredible selection of t-shirts that'll show everyone you listen to the best podcast in the world. Visit feastoffun.com/store.
Today on Feast of Fun, Chicago's Pokemon Go Festival gets turned into a pokey shit show. Joining us is comedian Cody Melcher, an admin for the Chicago Pokemon Facebook group and host of Tome Foolery, a really smart podcast on really stupid books. Welcome to Feast of Fun.
Thanks for having me back.
Yay! What is Pokemon Go and how does it drain my phone's battery?
It's a live Pokemon game, basically. So it's augmented reality. If you choose to do that, you can use your camera where it'll show you like Pokemon actually like in the world you're in. I never did that.
Hold on. You're throwing all these terms,
yes,
and
I'm
some
sorry.
People might not grasp them.
I'm
augmented
sorry,
reality is when we look at the real world through our phones,
yes,
and stuff happens inside it.
Yeah, basically, like imagine if you put like virtual reality, but like overlaid that on the real world.
And so, you know,
the best way I can describe it.
And future generations of phone operating systems, mm-hmm, both Android and iOS,
yeah,
Macintosh, is going to have a virtual ruler,
mm-hmm,
so you can measure your penis. This is true.
I'm not
in the real
it.
World,
yeah,
augmented reality. So internet inches are completely going to be a thing of the past. So internet inches, meaning guys lying about their penis,
yeah,
size.
Because on average, they say the guys add at least 1 inch to their penis length.
Right.
They do.
I always added at least 1 inch to my Snorlax, which is on my Pokemon Go. So they're very similar but different. Yeah.
And so Pokemon Go is this game where you use the camera on your phone to,
yes,
look at the world around you and discover little monsters. They call them Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a game from like the 90s, I believe.
But it used to be like little chips or something, right?
Well, no, so it was a Nintendo game, and then it was also a card game, and it was a television series and then a movie series.
And Pogs, which is gambling for children.
They did have Pogs of it, but that was Pogs doing poker. Like that, Pogs did a lot of like cross promotion. I used to have WWE Pogs and stuff like that. So
quickly, Pogs is like tiddlywinks
yeah,
and gambling and poker mixed together.
And Furby is like a gremlin if it was a robot.
Got it.
Let's just describe. Stretch Armstrong is like a man if he was more elastic.
But Pokemon Go, the game came out last year and it really blew up. Everybody,
yes,
was playing it. You'd see people like
we were
falling off cliffs because they weren't, mm-hmm, paying attention to where they're going. People died playing this game.
I watched a video of a guy walking off a pier into water.
Mm.
But one good side effect of it is that it got people out of the house,
yes,
and interacting with each other in physical spaces,
yes,
and also breaking into people's back lawns,
yeah,
in order to get the elusive,
yeah,
what is it, Top Man Pokemon, right?
What?
What?
It was a Pokemon, very elusive one called Top Man.
Oh, really?
And you grabbed it and, you know, plummeted you into?
I don't know.
Oh, that was a grinder.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, Togepi? Is he the Togepi?
My husband loves that new Pokemon Go. He's just searching for top men all the time. And so, but it really got people out of the house and built a community. And for a while, it was the must-have game. Mm-hmm. But then people started realizing that they're basically collecting a bunch of virtual stuffed animals and not knowing what to do with
it. It's virtual hoarding. Yeah. And then also, too, it's like it robs, like it drains your battery. And then for me, one day it just stopped working.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, they had a lot of technical problems because it got kind of overloaded. They were moving too fast. It got bigger real quick in a way I don't think they were expecting. And so it really kept overloading the system a lot. I remember that those were a lot of problems at the beginning. And I think honestly, just like with a lot of game fads, and especially something that requires so much time devotion and also like, planning your life around it, I think people just like, we're like, you know what? I have things to do. Like, I've got other stuff to do.
Like play, Scruff and get bottom man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I have a lot of friends that are former World of Warcraft players, like, and I am too. And it's like, you get to a certain point where you're like, you know what? I just can't devote hours of every day of my life to doing this. I have other stuff I got to do.
Because once you discover on a lot of those games, once you control the natural resources, mining the gold, you're going to win.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, well, you just have to find the gold pits.
Yeah.
So the creators of the game, Niantic, decided to congregate in Chicago at Millennium Park, which is a very beautiful downtown.
I think it was Grant Park.
Grant Park. Okay. Yeah. But, basically the downtown area.
I never know neighborhoods. I never know parks. I've lived here for 6 years and I barely know anything about this town.
So Millennium Park is north and then Grant Park is south, but it's all along the lakefront.
Yeah, it's all along. Right. They're kind of connected. Basically, they carved Millennium Park out of Grant Park, I believe.
I think so.
And so Grant Park, so everybody got together and initially the tickets went for $45.
20, was it?
I don't remember.
It was a very reasonable price, and they sold out quickly within minutes, and so scalpers were selling them for up to 500 or 1,000 online. And so it was the must summer event of the season.
Oh, yeah.
And in order to accommodate all the people with cell phones, every major cell phone company set up towers at the festival.
Mm-hmm. Which is like...
What could go wrong?
I will also, kudos to them at least, because that's the most forethought I've ever seen in anything involving that, because like... That should be a thing you do at every outdoor festival, is set up cell phone towers.
And especially here along in Chicago, we feel like when you're along the lake, and that's where Grant Park is, like self-service is really terrible. And anyway, it was $20 for a ticket, and it sold out within 10 minutes when they put them online.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then scalpers are buying that. Like, there's a company in Austin that I love called Mondo, and they make alternative, screen-printed movie posters. Like, they'll get an artist to make a new poster, and they will release them, and then they'll sell out real quick. And then if you go to eBay, within an hour, you'll find half of the posters on eBay already marked, like double marked up. It's bummer. It's a real bummer.
So everybody got together at this festival, and I guess
that flew.
It's kind of like Wigstock 2000. They started charging, $500 for a bottle of water and stuff like that.
Yeah, people are always going to find a way to make money. I mean, that was at the beginning of the game. People were like creating Pokemon, like Pokeballs that you could like that were battery, like external battery stuff. People, I remember there was so much like bootleg hats and T-shirts and everything. Like everybody was finding ways to make money off of it. The minute like people were selling like Pokemon Go backpacks, and it was like just a backpack that they were just labeling as a Pokemon Go. They didn't even have anything Pokemon related on it, or like they put like a button on it and they're like, it's a Pokemon Go backpack, you can use it to carry all your Pokemon Go supplies. And it was just so, everybody was trying so hard.
So what caused this to turn into basically a Chicago's answer to the Fire Festival? And people were stuck like in it. There were 20 minutes just to get out of the festival.
Yeah.
In line.
So just poor planning. And also a thing that part of the reason why a lot of people stopped playing the game is because the game kept malfunctioning. Like it's a structural problem that Niantic's had since the beginning. And
they never really fully addressed it.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like, when it happened, I wasn't there because I don't really play the game that much anymore.
Even though you're the moderator for the group?
I'm one of the admins of the group, and I was always kind of a fair weather admin. Mm-hmm. I was brought on in the beginning by the creator of the group for comedy. He wanted somebody that was like contributing and like some jokes and stuff. And then also I could also help out with moderation. And I was like, sure, that's no problem at all. And it's like at 14,800 people, I think, right now, which is low because people were dropping off.
Because the popularity of the game waned, or
yeah,
or
the popularity of the game waned. That people, like I said, people just, you know, figured out, hey, I've got other stuff I want to do. And so like when the festival fell apart, I was getting updates on my phone about it because people were posting in the group, and I was like half like, yeah, of course it did. Like, because there have been so many problems with Niantic and Pokemon Go specifically over time that it was just like, yeah, who thought this was going to go well? Like, the last time I tried to open up the app, Pokemon Go, to like show a friend of mine who also still had his app, it took forever for it to load, like to a point where I just stopped trying to open it.
The idea was this for people to come and gather and to catch things and play a game. Because
they just
together,
recently
right?
redesigned a lot of it where they were releasing legendaries, and then they also had redesigned the way that gyms are structured, because it used to just be you would walk up and you just fight a gym, and now they created like a raid system where you have to join in together with other players. They're trying to double down more on the getting people to talk to each other more.
And of course, you know, they're trying to sell this game to people, like, it's kind of like what Dance Dance Revolution was. Like, who needs to go to the gym when you can use the Pokemon Go gym?
Yeah, and I mean, like,
and so you're getting out of the house, you're walking around, you're exercising, but you're not really doing much. You're just going to, like, a bus stop or crawling into some stranger's van that says, elusive Pokemon Go inside, getting some chloroform, and they drive off.
Well, and there were people who would, like, just drive to places and park and then play. And, like, and that's fine. Park and play. And that's fine. But, I mean,
tell me more.
You know, as an admin of the group, there were a lot of people talking about how nice it was to get out of the house. Like, you know, it's kind of like conscientious capitalism where it's like, is it perfect? No, but at least it's something that's better than just, you know, ruthlessness. Like, you know, at least these are people who are not doing exercise at all. Just like, remember when the Wii became Kinetic and they had like workout stuff, and like the whole thing was kind of like moving around.
You could do yoga holding a remote control to a video game player.
But if we're talking
about holding it in your hand and it's like good, you're sweating. That's what all these, you know, like Fitbits and activity monitors on your wrist are.
Right.
I tell people, it's a diagnostic tool. If you think that's going to motivate you to exercise more, they've done studies that actually motivates you to exercise less, because you're thinking, hey, I played, you know, 10 hours of Pokemon Go.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're talking about people who are not exercising at all, like, this is a very specific demographic of person. And I'm not saying, like, everybody playing Pokemon Go is somebody who's not exercising at all. But, like, you know, if you're talking about, you know, like, a hardcore video game nerd, a lot of the stories that we got on the group were about people that were like, yeah, I'm actually getting out. I'm meeting people. I'm walking around. Like, I'm not a social person. Like, we would get people that were introverts or like parents. We had a lot of parents talking about their kids were like hardcore introverts that never went outside, never met people. And now they play with like the parent took them out and play, and they'd go to a park where there were a bunch of Pokemon, and they would meet other kids that were playing, and then they would get to know each other, and they made friends. Like, it did.
There were struggling businesses that purposely purchased elusive Pokemons that they could put inside the business that advertised it. So people would go into the business to capture the Pokemon and stay for a double mocha frappuccino.
Yeah, there were like some deals and cross promotions, but like, I don't know. There were some positives to it. The game has flaws. But I mean, you know, it's way more active than World of Warcraft. When I played World of Warcraft, I would sit in a chair for 5 hours at a time.
Hot.
And just stare at a screen.
It's so addictive, isn't it?
Yeah. And like, at least with Pokemon Go, I would, you know, I would walk the long way home rather than walking straight home, because I would try to like pass through more Pokestops and go hit a gym real quick.
And that's kind of where the future of all this gaming technology is getting people to not feel like they're sacrificing their well-being in order to play this game.
Right.
But ultimately, these gaming companies do make a lot of money from keeping you addicted and keeping you sitting on your ass for 5 hours in front of a glowing screen.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like, and there were definitely times where I would just open it up at home and hang out on the couch and just like, and like, you can throw down like a lure which will bring people to
your house.
Yeah, like, yeah, well, bring Pokemon to, not people, bring Pokemon to like where you are. that are around. You know, it's still not as, it's still not going to be as effective as if you're walking around, but you can still catch some stuff that way. So I would just do that sometimes. But like at the time that I downloaded Pokemon Go, I was super depressed. It was right after my ex-boyfriend and I had broken up. And I was like in deep depression. I had like nobody was checking in on me. I had like no friends to get over it. Like I wasn't doing like the thing you're supposed to do after a breakup where you like get ice cream with your friends and you watch movies and you talk
to your friends
that
you haven't talked to for the past year because you've been too busy.
Exactly.
Shacking up with your boyfriend.
Exactly. I had nobody to hang out. The person I was hanging out with the most after the breakup was my ex-boyfriend because he was still my best friend.
Can always hang out anytime you want to hang out.
I had a hard time. I had a hard time reaching out to people. I still do. I always do. But
And just because I blocked your number, it doesn't really mean anything.
But I got on Pokemon Go and like it got me out of the house, you know, and even not getting out of the house, it gave me like a thing to do. Like it gave me
objectives. So why did
objectives.
You go to the festival?
Because that was then, this is now. and now I'm working out. And that's my new Pokemon Go. My new Pokemon Go is like working. I'm still barely talking to people.
Well, I guess the CEO, by 11 o'clock in the morning, I guess it was okay. Like the day started out okay. And remember the weather here in Chicago on Saturday, it was hot and it was humid as heck. It was super muggy that day. And the CEO got up and people just started booing and screaming, "Fix your app, fix your app."
Yeah.
And anytime like throughout the day that they would kind of give updates, people would still boo and say, "Fix your app."
Yeah. I mean, like, you can't like it's the company since day one has always been running before it knew how to walk. Yeah. And it's real weird, especially with, you knew this was going to be a popular property. Mm-hmm. And then especially this event, you knew this was going to be a big event. You like even though the numbers of players have dropped, it's still a huge thing. And so, the group, like people started making, there are people who stuck around in the group that still don't really play anymore. And they were making fun of all the people who win. And then there was like all this infighting going on. I kept getting notifications of people like flagging stuff.
Is it like a hipster thing that I used to play it, but back when it was cool and now I don't play it anymore?
Most of the conversations I have around that are like with friends of mine who just like got too busy with their lives falling apart. And so we just talk about like, what level are you still at that you haven't achieved anything in?
So we can look forward to a future where we can measure our dicks and Pokemon Go works better with the cameras on our phones.
Yeah. I mean, and those are the only two things you should look forward to. Well,
and I guess they're offering refunds to people in the way of giving people like $100 worth of credit for in-store purchases.
Which is pretty lame.
Which is pretty, because what are you buying in that app anyway? Like
you can buy incubators and you can buy the lures I was talking about and candy and stuff like that. You can buy stuff, but like
this sounds like a pedophile's dream, like lures, candy, young people.
I mean, a van full of puppies.
I mean, it is called Pocket Monsters, but I mean, like there are people who flew in and spent tons of money.
Is that what Pokemon stands for?
Pokemon's Pocket Monsters. Yeah,
I had no idea. Yep. Did you know that?
I thought it was just like, you know, broken Japanese.
It's monsters made of spam on rice that they sell in Hawaii. Pokemon. No, it's a pokey joke. Did not land. Pokey's it's a Hawaiian food. Oh. Anyway, the Hawaiian audience, the Hawaiian listeners are loving this moment. I'll just let you know.
Okay,
I'm from Hawaii and I hate this moment.
So tell me what pokey is. It's spam on toast.
No, it's like rice. It's not just spam, but spam is a type. Okay.
They love spam in the island. Island people love spam.
Yeah.
I mean, Koreans love spam, too.
People think that I'm joking when they say the next generation of phones are going to realistically be able to measure things in real time with augmented reality, three-dimensional stereoscopic vision. That's two cameras on the back of the phones. Mm-hmm. It's going to be able to look at, a sheet of paper and say this is 8.5 by 11 inches.
Right.
Same goes for your dick. Logically. Oh,
man. Is it also 8.5 by 11 inches?
Let's just forget about the 8.5 and 11. Let's talk about the 7 inches.
Was that
May West there?
Yeah.
Nice try. Well, that's what's going to happen though. Like people going to like the, because it's going to have to be in real time. So if you're going to hook up with somebody, they're like, okay, go to the bathroom, get your dick hard, pull out the augmented reality ruler.
You can make a video.
You can make a video.
Yeah,
and
why
do
not?
That and have that there.
I guarantee you one of the new features of those social or dating apps. Mm-hmm. And we're actually looking to talk to Johnny Scruff on the podcast soon.
Ooh.
Is will they be implementing augmented reality into Scruff? I'm joking.
Penis verification mm-hmm. software.
I believe that that's going to be a mm-hmm. feature in the future, because some of these guys are big old size mm-hmm. queens. True. And they're like, I need to know what it looks like, mm-hmm. what size yeah. it is.
But the stuff. Problem is the way the technology develops, there's always people are going to find a way to still trick it or to still
of
fake
course.
It.
Well, yeah, because even when you have like a ruler or you have a bottle and stuff like that, you see these guys are like, well, my yeah. dick's 8 inches, and then they have the ruler, but you see the ruler is stuck into their flesh and they're pushing yeah. it down trying to get yeah. it to that size.
People photoshopped a lot of Pokemon stuff. It was really easy.
Comedian Roseanne Barr said that, what is it, rulers and maps were invented by men because only a man sees 1 inch and thinks it's a mile.
Nice.
Well, they recently done a study, a condom company that specializes in plus size condoms for the bigger lads, said that on average, men lie about their penis size by about 1 inch.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm really like people ask me what my dick is on Scruff and Grindr and Tinder. Well, I'm banned from Tinder because I said I was genderqueer.
Okay,
which I am. Mm. But they were like, "You're not genderqueer enough." Banned.
You didn't get weird. You didn't get back on or something?
No, I wrote to the CEO, and because I'm not one of those people who has the little blue check mm-hmm. marks yeah. on my social media profile. No. I'm not a real celebrity. I'm just a fake one.
Oh, because I got banned because I created a new Facebook account, and then my sister-in-law reported it as a fake, and so then I know.
You guys, this is weird.
I know. It was when your family gets into your sex life, it's kind of crazy. But they also did a.
Yeah. Well, she thought somebody was impersonating you.
Also, put that on a t-shirt. Yeah. When your Mom. Family gets involved in your sex life, it gets weird.
So they say the average size of an American penis is 5.6 inches, which seems about
really?
Right.
I had heard like 6.
Yeah. It used to be 6, but I think that like this,
been shrinking.
And that might be self-reporting. But yeah. And so like with the doctor's measurement, I could see where that
How
is.
How many doctors are measuring your penis?
You know,
I've never gotten that in an
studies
update.
From time to time.
Sure.
You know,
but I've never like on my checkups. They've never been like, all right, now get hard. I'm going to get a ruler out.
What That's doctor never has happened. Not measured my penis? Hello.
I'd be fine with that. So like I've never lied about my penis size. Like if anything, I will be like conservative.
Yeah.
Like I'll say like I'm between like this half and this inch. Like that's kind of where I am. Like I'm roughly around there, depending on like how you
do it. Just for the record, people, I've seen Cody's dick pics
because he showed me
before. Started taping the show.
My phone's on airplane
like,
mode now.
It's a nice dick,
but it's
Thank
only a
you.
Small little thumbnail. I want to see a big picture.
I don't have a big picture. I don't keep pictures of my dick on my phone. Really?
Why not? How else? What else are you going to do with it?
What are phones good for?
Well, because if I'm sexting a person, which is rare, I like to send them one in the moment. I want you know, you don't recycle your ex-wife's wedding ring. Like this is what you are doing to my dick.
Do you want
to
see my?
I don't want to show you what another guy was doing with my dick. I want to show you what you how you've affected my penis. Like this is personal.
Oh, this is what's going
now
on.
That you showed me your dick.
Okay, I'll look.
Do you want to see? Sure. I don't want to harass you.
Is it just going to be a picture of Dick Van Patten?
No, it's an actual photo of my penis.
Okay, yeah.
And see, I don't shave the bush down there.
Sure, I just trim a little.
It's a savanna. It's wild.
Yeah. No, nice.
Tell people how nice it is.
It's very nice. It's got a very strong vein going. It's good. That's got to be good for like prostate work though. The vein, you know, the veins, like it's like an added tingler effect, you know, like those rabbits where it's got like a little thing on it. I'm like, I'm sure that works out really well.
It has actually have pearls that spin around and the
does
base.
It vibrate?
It vibrates. And when I get really excited, the tip of my penis looks like a bunny rabbit with its ears vibrating.
There you go. Yeah.
Only people who actually been to a dildo store will get that joke. Everybody else is like horrified.
Your demographic of listener definitely has not been to a dildo store ever. Okay, I like that it says TG Dick F.
Did you make that?
No, actually, somebody just sent this to me, but I thought it was pretty good. So it's TGI Friday, but the I is
TGIF.
It's a TGI Fridays. It's a restaurant that's also
penis
a dick.
F.
Yeah. What's that?
It should be TGI penis.
But the I is for the penis.
Yeah,
the
I
okay.
So
the, I is
the point of this.
Oh, that's nice. That's a nice. Yeah. All right.
So that actually is my penis.
Yeah.
We don't really know for
is
sure.
Is this at an office? That's an office chair.
You want to see Mark?
That's like right here.
Oh, it's over here. Okay.
That's before
I forgot.
We redecorated.
I have
a photo. That's a different chair.
Yeah. I have a photo of Mark with all his cum all over his himself. Like he's his own.
This is getting next to me. I don't think I have that anymore.
This is getting aggressive.
Horrifying.
I don't know. This is. So, Mark, well, do you trim or is that? Is
I
that
trim
natural?
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
You want to see it? Not, it's really gross.
Is it gross?
I don't know.
It'll give you nightmares, and you won't think of us in the same way again. Sure. It may ruin our friendship.
Sure. Let's do it. I'm moving in 3 months anyway.
It's horrifying.
Okay. No.
See, it's like it looks like he's dying.
I don't really look at porn. Mark, so this is new for me.
Like he's dying right then. That photo. Like it's, you know, like his blood pressure is so high that he's like about to pass out.
No, my chest looks pretty good.
He's going for it. Yeah, the chest looks pretty good.
Yeah. So anyway, this company did. They looked at
you're welcome, listeners.
Yeah, we just what
horrified.
A visual. What an audible journey we just went through.
What else are we gonna do? You know,
macrame.
Huh? No, pull yours out so we can criticize yours.
Why
critique it? I'm sorry.
Why are you criticizing my penis?
So
it tries so
there's
hard.
A study that doctors measured people's dicks. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure this is a legitimate mm-hmm. study. It's fake news or whatever. But.
And so they say, like, the cities with the biggest dicks is...
Chicago!
Well, that's number three on the list.
Woo! We're number three!
But Columbus, Ohio... Columbus, Ohio is like there's some very, very sexy men in there.
Oh, yeah.
So could, you have a nice
it's the
dick.
Number one
it
dick capital
too
of America.
From my own.
Yeah, I actually was thinking that when you showed me yours. You
know, I like people whose dicks
I like Cody's
mine.
Dick better
I had a boyfriend whose dick was exactly like mine.
Oh, weird.
It was the same shape. It was the same color.
I told you about the guy that I dated who had one that bent back on itself.
Like up
it,
or down?
Like it bent up back into itself, so you had to pull. You had to pull it away from when you get hard. You had to pull away from his stomach, like you were voting,
oh, like a lever,
or like a slot machine. And I would
reverse
and it would curve back. And so I used to play. I think I've mentioned this on this podcast before for some reason, but I used to play a game with myself when I would jack him off, where I would try to aim his semen into his belly button, and I would give myself points on how close I got into getting into it.
Now, some of those curves can be very pleasing.
Sure.
I hooked up with a guy one time whose penis looked like one of those hairless moles that grow underground.
No. Oh. A naked mole rat?
A naked mole rat.
Yeah.
And I was like
impossible.
How does that? Were you in an accident or something? He's like, no. That's just how nature.
That's what nature
is. And
this
is
all
the
dicks
like,
are beautiful.
If you don't like the way your dick is, don't ever apologize for it.
Yeah,
it's not something you can change unless you go pump it with silicone, like Justin Jedlicka, the human Ken doll does. But otherwise, it's like love your penis because you can change. You can get a new haircut. You can work out of the gym. You can get a tan. You can get a tattoo, but you can't really change your penis
well,
size.
Well, you can get more girth on there. They also do something where they can make it a little longer too, mm-hmm. because they just unattach it to your body up
at
the
I've
top.
Heard that, yeah.
And so you can get
maybe
an extra
if you're
inch
a millionaire,
on.
But us average Joes are not going to be rushing to a plastic surgeon and getting our dicks.
You can tie a string to your head and then tie it to a doorknob and then close the door. And it'll pull it a little. You get a little bit out of there.
I think the actual pulling on your dick will make it over time.
If you punch it, then it just gets engorged because it's just like it's just angry. Just, you anger it.
Mark has a theory that people who don't masturbate have smaller penises because the act of masturbation makes your penis bigger.
Because you're pulling on it.
This is not scientific.
That would make that would make sense for mm-hmm. for me because I masturbated a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I've noticed like some guys that are humpers. They just like they only get off by like humping the bed.
Uh huh.
The guys that I've known have had shorter penises because they're not pulling on it.
You need a control in this study, though. Like you need to get
Mark's mouth is the
it's the control group.
So they did a study.
Yeah,
and I love science when it gets the science of the dong here. One of the topics on the show. They looked at all the guys' dicks all around the country, and Columbus, Ohio's number one.
Denver's number two. Chicago's number three. Then Atlanta.
All right.
Hotlanta.
Yeah.
Suck it, Atlanta.
City.
We're bigger than you. Who? Where's New York and L.A. fall? They're like in the bottom of the
New
list?
New York's not even on here. So it's a 1 through 10.
Sorry.
So it's Tucson, Newark, Phoenix, Boston, Pittsburgh, and Washington, D.C.
Man, well, I guess you have to have a reason to live in Newark. So, there you go.
Those Jersey
you found
boys.
It. There's the one reason to live in Newark.
Jersey boys.
How are they measuring these guys?
Well, I'm curious about Denver because I would have thought at the high altitude, like your penis wouldn't be able to get fully up there.
No, I don't know. I think that there's something about that because remember, it's like they use those vacuum pumps, right?
Sure, yeah.
And so
maybe the air is lighter, so the penis gets.
Because every time I'm on a plane, I feel like I always get a boner.
I'm getting a spam caller from Denver, Colorado.
So, are we live on air? they calling it. Well, I live in Denver and my penis.
My dick's big too. Thanks, Feast of Fun.
I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah. So, Trump, you know,
speaking of dicks,
destroying the world. Mm-hmm. He right now is the worst president in history, according to polls. People hate him so much.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, in terms of that, I would, yeah.
They're just, you know, he's like the heart on, I would say, the boss on 9 to 5, a sexist, egotistical,
yeah,
racist, sexist pig.
I feel like the 9 to 5 boss is still at least more endearing.
Yeah.
Maybe just because the actor Dabney playing
Coleman. Yeah. From San Antonio, Texas.
Hey-o.
Yeah. But so he, at the G20 summit, Trump sat next to the Japanese prime minister's wife, Aki Abe, mm-hmm. and she just looked at him and just was like, no English, you know, basically like she's looking at him and is like, I don't want to talk to you. Mm. And so at the whole dinner, and so Trump was interviewed and he's like, I guess she doesn't speak any English, you know. And then, of course, people on the internet found a speech that she did where she's like perfectly for an hour talking in English. And now, so everyone's like, ha ha, she hates your mm-hmm. guts, you know, suck at Trump. Well, it turns out that she actually, like ABBA,
yeah,
in the 70s, in the 80s, ABBA, the group, phonetically learned the entire speech in English, but Aki Abe does not speak English and does not understand English very well.
So she just read a teleprompter.
She read a teleprompter, but she phonetically learned the words, right. You know?
And that makes sense, because I watched the speech, and I was like, well, this is a pre-written speech. That doesn't necessarily mean...
But it was an hour-long speech?
English.
I think it was an hour-long speech.
I can read Spanish, like...
It's 25 minutes long.
Okay.
I can read most languages that have, like, you know, the same alphabet we do. I could read... I could read them and get it close enough. You know?
That's one of the tricks to learn a foreign language is just be able to like find a paragraph mm-hmm. and memorize that paragraph.
And just say that.
And just memorizing that paragraph will help you understand the language much better.
Sure. I grew up listening to ABBA in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult, when I moved to Texas.
They had like one song, Chiquitita.
A lot of their songs were in Spanish.
Oh, yeah?
Voulez-vous,
That's French.
Well, I know, but that
okay. The aha title. The aha part?
I can pull up the lyrics. Here, let me dig
Voulez
this up.
Voulez-vous is French, and that aha is Spanish.
Dime por qué.
Dime por qué tu dolor hoy encadena que tus ojos hay una sombra de gran pena.
I'm expecting a mariachi band to pop up out of nowhere suddenly.
Chiquitita, dímelo tú.
They're not as cheap as they used to be.
You got a slide whistle. It's close.
I can do this. Voulez-vous ABBA Espanol. Here, ready? They released that whole album.
Sure. I was thinking Voulez-vous itself wasn't.
Why not? You know, do that versioning so that people will buy it from all over the world.
I mean, I saw Ricky Martin live in Vegas, and he had a huge, like, Latin following there. I mean, like, it's Ricky Martin. It's like, hey, that's a good market. Eddie Izzard does the same thing. He does stand-up in English, French, and German.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so he'll do whole shows in German. He actually, like, wrote a new bit in German and will do half of it in German still when he's doing, like, English audiences.
Do you want to hear Voulez-vous in Spanish? It's Voulez-vous, aha, tómelo ahora o bándalo, aha, ahora es de todos que ponemos, aha, nada prometido, ninguna excusas.
Beautiful.
Voulez-vous. So,
the language of love.
You saw Ricky Martin in Vegas.
Yeah, he has a residency at, I forget.
Like Celine Dion, Cher.
Yeah. Reba
McEntire,
which I also saw in Vegas.
They can set up shop, stay there for a while, and then people come.
And the hookers the sex workers are amazing.
Actually, Elton John, Reba and Brooks and Dunn. Elton John, Reba, Celine Dion, and I think Cher are all at Caesar's Palace, and they just like alternate dates. So like, because like the gift shop had all of their stuff.
It worked. Okay, so you trying to do Cher, but I didn't know what to say.
You can't follow immediately with a Spanish ABBA and then go to Cher. It's two different things. You got to work your voice up.
Hold on a second. Someone's talking about me. So Ricky Martin's doing.
West?
Yeah, Ricky Martin's doing his show.
Yeah,
and you know, for us who grew up with Ricky Martin, it was him with a lot of women.
Sure,
on stage, you know. dancing in a fish tank in water in the music video. You know, I remember
that
very sexy.
Yeah.
Now he's like banging mostly dudes in the show.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, he had like dudes straight. I mean, like, he occasionally would dance with a woman, but he had like, he was like grinding on guys, and he had like male dancers dancing with other male dancers in like romantic songs. Like, he had both like heterosexual dance couples and homosexual dance couples. It was really interesting. It was like really interesting and cool, and very like not a big deal in the show. Like, it was very front and center present, but it wasn't like, but it was just a part of the show.
What
it
was the really final nice song he did?
Yeah.
What
it was like the gayest show I've ever seen. What?
What was the final song he did in the show?
I don't remember if this was the encore or the final song, but it was A Cup of Life, because I remember it because that is my favorite song. And I said
ale,
at the beginning,
ale, yeah. Ale.
And I said at the beginning of the concert, I hope to God he ends on Cup of Life. And then he did, and I went buck wild.
And then he drank some guy's cup of life.
Oh, I'm sure that was backstage. Yeah, because we were in the pit, so we were in standing room. Because the way the theater was set up was like it came out in like an out U walkway, and you could be in the middle of the U or on the outside of the U.
Sure.
We showed up late because we're old, and so we were like we're fine with standing in the back of the pit area, and it ended up still being pretty close because of the way the U went.
Were you able to touch him or anything?
No, he did look at me at one point because when he was singing, he came around the U, and I was going buck wild, and he was like, I was like the only person still like going crazy dancing because everybody else had tired out by that point, and I was like, no,
saves your energy.
I love Ricky Martin. I used to listen to his to the titular album in my car all the time when I first got a car, and so like I know like every word to like every song on that album.
Did you know Ricky was gay when you first got that album?
I don't know if I knew I was gay when I first got that album. I kind of knew I was gay. He always kind of seemed it, but it's also like he's, you know, Ricky Martin, so it's like he could just look like that. Like, it could just be, it's like when you go to New York and you go to Little Italy, and it's like, are they European or are they homosexual? Because it's like a group of guys that are in fit wearing bright colored outfits. It's pretty similar.
Now, what was the audience like? Was it girls mostly, or was it gay guys?
The audience was like like heavily Latin and also gay, is what I would say. But like a lot of like older people, like a lot of older Latin people, Latino people, and
do you think they appreciate, because I know a lot of women love watching that man on man action.
I think the women were also just like really into the music. I think it was a heavily Latinx audience, so like they were super just like into like Ricky Martin, like he's the guy, you know.
Yeah.
He's the one who, it's like watching Liberace. It's like, hey, there he is. There he is. He puts on a show.
Yeah.
Like Reba is an amazing singer, especially like she's in her 70s and she was hitting
she
notes
really?
Like a motherfucker.
Wow. Ricky get shirtless?
He gets almost shirtless. Like, he gets pretty skimpy, but not completely shirtless. He does on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
If you get on Instagram, he gets shirtless a lot there. I don't remember if he actually gets fully shirtless. I was really into a lot of things. I was just going hard in the paint on the concert. But he puts on a show. Like, he is a showman. And so that was really cool. Like, he's a performer.
So the artist named Vincent Furnier, better known as Alice Cooper, was cleaning out his garage.
God damn it!
And basically a storage locker where he has a lot of tour equipment, musical instruments, books, and stuff like
severed
that.
Severed heads,
bat wings, and found a classic late period Andy Warhol. Painting of an electric chair. His girlfriend at the time had purchased it for him and planned to give it to Alice Cooper as a birthday present, but forgot about it because they were on drugs all the time.
Oh, wow.
And just stored it in his locker.
Oh, my God.
And they split up. And today, like basically about a month ago, 2017, you know, decades later, he was cleaning up and ran across it. And
do you have any idea what it's worth?
It's estimated to be quite a lot.
I love it. That's such an Alice Cooper thing, that he would accidentally find an Andy Warhol painting in his garage. Also, like,
they paid $2,500 at the time for it, but it's probably worth millions at this point.
What a great girlfriend. I mean, like, nobody I date gets me stuff like that.
That would be a good present for you, is a painting that will become worth millions of dollars when you're old.
I think that'd be a great present for anybody, but yeah, specifically me would also be
good. Like, I saw this guy, you know, that guy on the side of the road said free art.
And I was like, "Who's art?" And then he's like, "No, I have free art." And then you're like, "Oh, okay."
Mine. And you're like, "I don't know."
My favorite thing about Alice Cooper is that he was like best friends with Vincent Price and Groucho Marx.
Yeah. Was he really?
Yeah, because they considered him like the last vaudevillian because of the show he put on. So like, Jack Benny, like people would shit like the old vaudeville guys would come to his shows all the time, like
to Alice Cooper's show.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Like they thought he was great because he's putting on like a cabaret show. Because it's not
Vincent,
just a concert.
I thought your show was quite devilish.
Is that Mae West?
No. Vincent Price.
Yeah, I guess.
Vincent Price's daughter's a lesbian.
But Vincent Price is, you know, Alice Cooper, they probably called him Vincent, too. Because that's his real name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Vincent. And Vin's like, hello, Vincent.
Vincent
hello,
on Vincent acting.
Yeah.
Like,
V on V action,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah,
and so his daughter's a lesbian.
His daughter's a lesbian. Wrote a book on her dad, and pretty much outs her dad as being bisexual.
Yeah, that was a heavy rumor.
They're all kind of.
He has a great cookbook.
AC/DC.
You don't have a good cookbook unless you're at least bisexual.
Yeah.
AC/DC, baby. There, you know that stands for goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The
alternating current, direct current. Yeah.
People don't say that anymore.
Or all children's
really.
Devil's kids, children.
They say AC/DC. Yeah. You know.
All children's devil children.
Did
anybody from the band AC/DC ever come out as AC/DC?
No.
I think they did. Pretty much all of them. They had an album cover where they're sucking each other's dicks with rulers.
with augmented reality rulers.
They're like,
I've seen AC/DC live.
You have?
You know, you did?
Uh-huh. I saw it in high school.
Wow.
I saw AC/DC live. I saw Motley Crue live. I've seen Aerosmith live. I've seen The Police live.
Saw Aerosmith. Mark and I fell in love with each other again at a Kiss concert. Aerosmith concert.
Oh, that, I know that tour. That's good.
Mark and I went to the Tweeter Center, which I don't know what it's called now, in the rain. And we sat in a tarp with my friend Lisa and Jason and Connie. And the Kiss concert came out, and I was like, all right, Chicago, right? You guys are part of the Kiss Army, dedicated, because it's raining, woo! You know, they started the thing, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm seeing Kiss live. Like, I've always been, as a drag queen, as a fan of heavy metal music, I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And so, but the concert, you know, ran a little long. And and for a while, I was just talking to my friend Jason. I was like, I'm going to go get a beer. And so I look up to the stage, and Gene Simmons is bleeding from his head down to his jaw, and my first reaction is, oh my God, he fell off the stage.
Is he
okay?
Call the paramedics.
Is he okay? He's an old man. Please, someone, won't someone help?
Why are you all just cheering, you monsters?
It was staged.
What a beautiful story. This should be in a movie, and then Mark and I
we came home, and Mark's like, "I love you. I've always loved you." And,
is that that night?
That was the night. Yes, it was.
It was Gene Simmons' bloody forehead.
And I said, like, "I want to rock and roll all night and party every day." Now we just rock every other night.
Yeah.
And party sometimes once a month or so.
I mean, as long as you're keeping active.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all.
So are you a Doctor Who fan, Cody?
Yeah, I'm a huge old school Doctor Who. I have a Doctor Who pinball machine in my apartment.
And what era? Fan of gender nonconformity.
Yes. The pinball machine is from the Sylvester McCoy era.
Which one was he?
I'm bad with numbers. I think he's 8. No.
Sylvester McCoy. Oh, my God. I have to Google him to
tell
you what
he
looked like.
He's 8 because 9 was the movie doctor, the Byronic movie doctor. Then 10, 11. We're at 12. Well, no, we're at 13 now with Capaldi, right? Am I doing those numbers right?
I think you're right.
But now they have a lady. But the big news is there's a lady Doctor Who.
Yes.
Doctor Who is being reincarnated into a nice tits, right?
Okay.
And so everybody's like, oh my God, Doctor Who's transgender. You know.
Well, it's just that, like, I mean, they've already had them switch gender, like other Time Lords switch genders. Mm-hmm. The Master was a woman at one point. Like, that's happened before.
Yeah.
So Time Lords are genderless.
Still the mistress, right?
Oh, kind of. Well, I mean, it's just that they're aliens. So, like, what is gender? What?
The Master is still the mistress, right?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. I haven't really, I haven't watched since since the new showrunner, because I don't like him. But
With the Master, they in the older series is like there was a sexual tension between the Master, because the Master is like in many ways like a dungeon master. He's a dom top.
To
the Doctor. Yeah. You know? And so it'll be interesting because now the Master is now a mistress, and Doctor Who is now a woman. So they'll probably have a little, because you know, lesbo sex is a lot easier for people to digest than gay sex.
Right. It really brings new element to the sonic screwdriver.
And bigger on the inside than it is on the outside.
Oh, God. Where's my lizzo?
But the, I wonder now that she's got like a, you know, a womb, is she going to have some little Time Lord babies?
The Doctor already had a daughter, so like...
But it wasn't like a real daughter, was it?
There was like a, there's a whole thing.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. I think it was like a...
There's always a whole thing. The problem with Doctor Who is it always requires 5 years of explanation in order
to
get
there. Can the Time Lords travel in time?
Yes.
So
that's the... Yep.
Conceptually, the time Doctor Who can travel to a time when she was a dude and fuck herself.
Sure. I mean, she technically could have always done that.
Yeah.
And that's how she reproduces.
I don't know if that would next... I feel like that might be against the rules. I feel like that's part of, like, the stuck-in-time things. There are rules. No, you can't affect, like, stuck-in-time things.
Yes, there's some things in time that which are fixed.
Right,
fixed and they in kind, time. And the TARDIS kind of... And he and the TARDIS kind of, like, know what's fixed and what's not fixed, and some things you can change. But anything's game now because of how they ended, like, the last season or started the new season.
Yeah.
It's like all bets are off.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then there's the War Doctor. There's a whole... it requires... 7 years of explanation for anything related to Doctor Who.
But, you know, some people on the internet are complaining about it, saying, you know, what, you know, even one of the former doctors, Peter Davison, said that now that we have a female doctor, like, what kind of role model will little boys have? Because, like, they had this male figure in their life who is, like, a role model. I'm like, well, you can still have a role model out of a woman.
Right. I mean, A woman can still be a role model. B, they still have the other doctor. This is the thing I never understand about people that are like, oh, it ruined my childhood. Is it's like, you still have that. They didn't go and destroy it. Like, I stopped watching Doctor Who when it changed and I didn't really like the new way, the new path it was going on. But I didn't spend all of my time complaining about how it ruined Doctor Who for me. I still watch old Doctor Who. When it was Matt Smith and why am I blanking on his name? I hate him so much.
David Tennant?
No, the showrunner. The show.
Moffat.
When Moffat took over, they changed the direction of the way the show works. Like, the fundamental aspects of the Doctor changed. And they shifted focus in different ways, and I just didn't like it. And then I tried to get back into it on one of the Christmas specials, and it was just dumb gags that were very clearly like he would know this information. Mm-hmm. Like he showed up naked at somebody's house, and he's like, "Oh, I didn't realize that humans didn't go to church naked." It's like, you're 900 years old, and you spent most of your time on Earth. You know that. You know, like, that's information.
Yeah. Well, the most controversial Doctor Who reincarnation was he was translated to a Latino guy from Mexico, and they call him Dr. K.
Jeez. One of my favorite lines is still from have you seen Doctor Strange? The movie Doctor Strange, the Dr. Marvel Ken. One. That was great. Yeah, where he introduces himself to Mads Mikkelsen and he's like, Mr. Mads Mikkelsen goes, Mr. He goes, Doctor. He goes, all right, Mr. Doctor. He says, no, Strange. He says, Strange. He says, well, perhaps, but who am I to judge? Yeah. He just keeps calling him Mr. Doctor the whole time. It's great.
I'm not sure what to make of this news story, and maybe our audience can help us out here a little bit.
Call in.
This is Newsweek, so it's, you know, legitimate media or whatever.
What happened?
A group of international volunteers fighting with Kurdish forces against ISIS in northern Syria have declared themselves to be the first LGBT military unit created to battle the jihadi group. Its name is the Queer Insurrection and Liberation Army, or short, Tequila.
Oh,
Tequila.
Oh, no.
I say you let me have him first. I say we stab him, we kill him, we suck his dick off, and then we kill him. That's a little Pee Wee's Big Adventure reference.
How did these ISIS troops die? Tequila shots.
Well, they say on Twitter, they said that they want to seek to smash the gender binary and advance the women's revolution as well as the broader gender and sexual revolution.
And also fighting ISIS.
Yeah.
So when they're done fighting ISIS, is this group going to come back to the United States and fight like Republicans and Trump?
Well, they're international, so maybe they will.
Say, liberate us, tequila.
I mean, I would be down for this as a movie. I don't know. Like, it's a very like Ocean's 11 military type thing. I could dig it. Like if they were like internet, like an Avengers, but all queer. It'd be cool.
And they've taken over some of the sayings from the queer rights movement, like queer liberation, death to rainbow capitalism. Instead of bat, it's a shoot back. These faggots kill fascists.
Oh my god. It's like the Pink Pistol Group is like.
So they're associated with the International People's Guerrilla Forces, which is an anarchist movement.
Made entirely of guerrillas.
Yeah. Smart ones from Superman
super,
comics.
Yeah, super smart guerrilla. Guerrilla Grodds, super smart guerrilla group.
This is a real thing, though.
Right.
And I was just like, who are these, you know, because there's a lot of people who are, you know, paramilitary troopers for hire. Who have, you know, a lot of our listeners are actually people who serve in the armed forces.
Oh, yeah.
And like us, they have a very subversive sense of humor and political viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine that some of them, after retiring from the army, would want to maybe they have a taste for the battle, like, right. You know, like,
well, I think most people, once they get out, they don't want to go back.
Yeah, right? Like, but I'm trying to figure out who these people are and why would they want to do
this? There's a lot of people out there that like join the French Foreign Legion. Yeah. There's people that just kind of sign up for causes throughout the world because they just feel like this is, they're very passionate about it.
Sometimes it's the only way you feel like you can get out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. Eddie Izzard in Dressed to Kill had that whole bit about the first, the first drag queen, or not drag queen is what he called it, but airborne division, where it was like, where it
cross-dressing was cross-dressing airborne division,
like where it was like the guys, executive transvestite, that's what he called it, the first transvestite airborne division, where it was guys coming down in parachutes with fantastic makeup and heels, because he was like, the whole thing is element of surprise. That was the whole thing he had in Dressed to Kill about how he wanted to join the military and try to like create like a transvestite.
Well, they did that airborne when it was, division. There's a, who is it, Waray in the Philippines, there's a song, it's a nursery song, and Eartha Kitt sang
Waray in the tato Cas warai warai hindi la polas asinuman amina hamun atikitai anatong.
That's a great. That's a great Mae West.
You want to know what the song means? I'll translate it for you. It says that the women of Warai Warai have muscles like steel, and they can fight any battle. But beware, for their kisses are as sweet as wine.
And so what happened is, like, it's based on a real story. As the in Warai, they would have the men dress up as women and then try and seduce the invaders.
Oh, sure.
And when they got them to that right position, they would just like kill them.
Yeah. Well, that's like in the Russian countryside during the Napoleonic Wars, when the Napoleonic army was retreating from St. Petersburg. Because the Russian military slashes and burns crops, the peasants were starving in the countryside. So they would, the French soldiers started leaving the army. They started deserting. And the villagers would invite the men to the house and then kill them and eat them.
Oh, wow. French food.
Yeah.
Tell me a little, you know, Bernays sauce.
I mean, it's better than snails, I guess. Yeah.
Don't get saucy with me, Bernays.
My favorite part about that story is that the French military only started massively deserting when they ran out of wine rations.
Oh, really?
And then they were like, that's too much. I'm out. Which, I mean, to be fair.
Cannibalism, okay. No wine. Forget about it.
I mean, to be fair, if you're French and B, if you're marching through Russia, like, I'd be like, yeah, at least I'm drunk. And once I'm that bad anymore.
Like, you know, to get liquids into your body back in the days, you wanted to drink something with alcohol in it because you knew it would be sanitary.
Sure.
You couldn't necessarily drink water.
Sure.
In the medieval times, people just like lived off beer.
Right. But I feel like it would dehydrate you, wouldn't it? Isn't it actually worse?
Every time I go to the gym, I like to bring a nice sangria.
No, have I told you guys about my gym?
No, what?
So, they have booze in it.
No, in the locker room, over the time I've been at this gym, I have found more than 5 different bottles of honey whiskey. Someone's like chugging honey whiskey in the locker room and then leaving empty bottles behind.
Oh, really?
I don't know who, I don't know why honey whiskey, I don't know why in the locker room of the gym, but that's been happening.
I try lifting weights after a couple beers. It's just, you just feel like you have no energy.
I can't.
You want to take a nap.
I would start getting like nauseous, I think. Like, yeah. I could not drink
it's
before
even
I worked
out. It's hard to have a drink sometimes, like after a workout.
Yeah.
You're just like, it just hits you really hard.
You gotta come down.
What drugs have you been on that you've been to the gym and
just
exercise?
Just lifting.
Caffeine.
Lifting is not that big of a deal when you're high.
No. Oh, cocaine.
Not me.
LSD.
Life.
No.
Mushrooms.
No, I don't.
I'd be concerned that I would be hurt. Like, slam away and be like, "Wow, man, that feels really good." And then you smack some more.
That giant frog is not spotting me.
So J-Lo, I guess, announced to the world that she has a gender neutral relative. She tweeted a photo and said, "This is Brendan, my sister Leslie's second child."
Well, you have to say it like this. "Hey guys, this is Brendan, my sister Leslie's second child. They were one person selected to represent their school at the Global Young Leaders Conference in Washington, D.C., and I couldn't be more proud. Brendan is strong and smart and loving and obviously a leader. Titi Jen loves you. Super proud auntie. Hashtag familia."
What a long paragraph.
That was pretty good.
That was good.
You know?
"I want a baby. I'm tired of eating healthy things."
She had two babies, didn't she?
Basically, like Jennifer Lopez and my niece.
They sound a lot like. Well, they're both Puerto Rican, but one was raised on the island and the other one was raised in the Bronx, right?
Honey, when you go Rican, you never go back. And you got both, you know. It's something in our blood.
Once you go Rican, you never return.
Return?
Yeah, you gotta try to work the rhyme in.
Yeah, if you take the time to make it rhyme, then it's gonna be fine. But
that was a pretty good
sounds
rhyme.
Divine.
That was close. Yeah,
big thing.
Yeah, it's like a slant rhyme, but you're good.
So it looks like Donald Trump's been going on a Twitter blocking rampage lately.
I think he's been doing that his entire life.
Yeah,
but I think people are kind of really trying to.
Some friends who got blocked by him, and they were super excited about it.
Parker Molloy, you know, a transgender activist, she just got blocked from him because he wrote a tweet that said, "It's very sad the Republicans, even some that were carried over the line on my back, do very little to protect their president." And she said like a gif where it's like a football player just kind of like making a jerk off sign and then to an umpire, and then it's just like, "You have been blocked by the real Donald Trump."
Oh my god.
And then there was another person, Chrissy Teigen, and she just got blocked because he tweeted something, and then she was just this is what he tweeted: "It's very sad the Republicans even it's the same kind of thing," and she tweeted to him, "Lol, no one likes you." And then it's just like, "You're blocked."
Yeah, he complained to the Boy Scouts about that too. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, one of the major tenets of this is gonna sound way more coherent than what he said, but he was like, one of the major tenets of scouting is loyalty, and like, man, I wish we still had some more of that, like Republicans were not loyal to me at all. And it was like, why are you talking to the Boy Scouts about politics right now? Like, what are you doing?
And he's bragging about his friend who's had like this big boat and throws these parties, and like
all the sexy people in New York are there.
"We got some nice hookers on this boat, kids.
You should have seen the tits on those girls, kids.
Chocolate cake was so good.
You want to talk about getting your not badge? That if you'd been at that party, you guys would have had it.
What should we tweet? I feel like we've been left out. What should we tweet Trump to get him? Like the laziest thing we can tweet to Trump to see if he'll block us. Just say, right, fuck you, and then at Trump.
Oh.
What would be the laziest thing to tweet to Trump to see? So this is kind of a game now.
You want to dig, be like, I hope you die the same way your mentor died.
But you don't want to threaten violence to the president.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm not going to give him AIDS. Are you?
No.
Well, there you go.
Oh,
because you know his mentor was.
I hope you die the same.
Can we do this?
No, don't do it. Don't
I would tweet at him. You have a tiny boat.
You have a tiny boat. At real Donald Trump. Okay. Tweeted.
Nice.
So this is a game we want to play with you guys. Mm-hmm. See if you can be banned by the real Donald Trump. Tweet him something. Don't threaten him.
Don't do that.
Don't physically harm, because that's against the law. Mm-hmm. But or they'll just knock on your door and be like, "Knock it off," you know. Oh, they'll put you in jail.
Yeah.
Guantanamo Bay, honey.
Yeah, that woman that sent anthrax to Obama, she just got like 17 years or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So say, tweet something at Trump that is non, you know, violent or threatening. Just like, you know, kind of taunting him, making fun of him.
It's easy.
Which is very easy. You have a tiny boat. Real Donald Trump. Real Boy Scouts don't whine. Let's do that one. How about that? Real Boy Scouts don't whine about what? Their
petty things.
About petty things. crybaby president. Real Donald Trump. Oh, shit, he already bronked me.
Oh, really?
No, he hasn't yet.
But I was like, that'd be quick.
So here we go. We did two. We want to know about your tweets. Tweet them at us at Feast of Fun on social media or at Twitter, and let us know if you're being able to successfully get banned or blocked by Trump. Mm. President Trump. I guess it's illegal for Trump to ban people, though, and some people are suing him.
Well, some people are saying that
because it's the official president.
It's a constitutional
tweet.
Question because it's technically like a government owned Twitter account. So like,
can the government ban people from accessing their tweets?
Yeah, well, because it's access to the government. Yeah, to government. It's you know, it's freedom of speech, due process, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a constitutional question that some people are suing him over. Which is the legal system at work. It's one of the positive things about the American legal system. There's four things. There's four positive things about the American legal system.
What's that?
This is one of them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna go through.
Martian DeLellis, who you guys remember as he's a visionary artist who lives in California. He has wants wig bombing to become a thing. So
what is wig bombing?
Photo bombing is when you get in the background of someone's photo and you make a little face or something. You're showing up unintentionally in somebody's photo.
Yes.
Wig bombing is an unintentional placement of a wig in a photo.
Okay.
So Martian has discovered, like, he found a parking meter and a wig had been put on it.
Nice.
So just carry a wig with you. I'm sure you have friends that are drag queens or wigs that are not using anymore. And just put it on something and take
a
picture of it.
Statue.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah, put it on a meter.
I mean, you can just get a wig anyway.
A fire hydrant, and people might confuse it for Lady Bunny.
God.
put it on something and take a picture of it and put it on social media. Hashtag wig bombing. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can make this a thing.
And then just leave the wig.
It'll be the summer hashtag.
Summer hashtag wig bombing.
Calling it now. Yes. Carly Rae Jepsen wig bombing. Mm-hmm. There it is.
Well, Carly Rae Jepsen was last 2 years
ago. She's every summer. She's every summer.
She's I just met you.
Yeah,
this is crazy. And everybody was lip syncing it.
Well, then there was the one with Tom Hanks.
Oh God, that was a low point. You think Trump is a low point in our culture?
I thought that was fun.
Mark and I went to see a show, and this artist pulls out her lip syncing video of that.
And I had been avoiding it all summer. Like videos on Facebook, on YouTube. I'm like, I'm not watching this. It's terrible. And I was stuck right in the middle. And then she pulled it out and made us watch it. And I was just like, I hate you.
That's why you always have an escape plan. Like bathroom, window, I don't care. Mm-hmm. You always have an escape plan.
I should have climbed over people and be like, I'm getting the hell out of here.
I'm not watching this shit.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
Just fake faint.
In the middle of like Cats, when they come out and she's like, memories. I'm like, I out of here.
Do you just yell that? Stand up.
Fuck this song.
My brother fell asleep during Cats when we saw it in London.
They didn't love it. He didn't see it a second time.
He passed out, and then like one of the cats woke him up, because when they came in the audience, he was sitting on the aisle and one of the cats like woke him up.
Surprisingly, there's no sounds in the Cats musical of meow, meow.
There's not? No. They don't meow at all?
They don't go, when cats are horny. First time I ever heard that, I was like, oh my God, Satan's outside the window. I was like, mommy, there's a cat sound. Our cat sounds weird. And she's like, she's just horny.
That's a whole different reboot of Old Yeller.
I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen.
We got some fabulous t-shirts on our store, feastoffun.com/store. Help make this podcast even more Feast of Funtilicious. Get your Hunty University t-shirt or your Drag Wars t-shirt, The Shade Awakens.
Ooh.
Or The Shade is Strong with this one. It's kind of like if you're a Sith Lord and a drag queen, like Valentina.
A Swish Lord.
People are hating on Valentina.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like, I'm seeing a lot of that.
And I guess it turns out, so really quickly, tomorrow's podcast we're going to be dedicating to the drag wars that are unfolding after the season of Drag Race. Oof. But Aurora Sexton, who's been on this podcast as well, she's a pageant queen, posted this really long read about how some queens got to get their act together and show a little bit of respect. and not be asking for red M&Ms and champagne in the dressing room because you're just a man in a wig.
Well, champagne's easy to come by.
And so. Bars, don't bars have champagne?
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly, so or at least sparkling wine.
If it is in your rider and they sign for it, then shut the fuck up and give her some red motherfucking M&Ms and a bottle of champagne. It's not that hard to do. Shoot, what's her name? The from season 3 who yelled at Mimi M first. Shangela. Mm. It's not that hard to do.
I thought you were going to do Cisco. I was like,
it's not that hard.
It's not that hard to do.
To do.
You have no right.
Yeah, you have no right. There, but some folks are saying that it's not actually Valentina who requested the red M&Ms.
And will we find out on tomorrow's podcast?
We may. Well. We have the receipts, the timestamps. Foxy Kim is joining us.
And oh, hello, Foxy.
To take a look at what should you do if you're a famous drag queen and every single stinky fan wants to hug you. Mm. What do you do? How do you say politely say, you know what? Let's just be friends.
Yeah. Shake hands.
Hands.
I love Foxy. I look forward to that.
We'll be talking about how to handle, you know, dealing with people who are a little bit touchy-feely like me, who want to, you know, get into their in your space, in your grill. Yesterday on the podcast, we talked about bodybuilding and its impact on gay culture and the most wild moments in bodybuilding from the early Eugen Sandow, who was a German bodybuilder and who toured circuses and sideshows and started selling, you know, exercise equipment all the way up to your favorite Instagram hunks. And your father was a famous bodybuilder and wrestler.
Yeah. And he was also he was a trainer and worked out regularly at the Gold's Gym in Venice Beach.
And his name is
Magic Schwartz.
Magic Schwartz.
Without a T. Yeah.
He was a WWF wrestler.
He was a jobber for WWF back in the earlier days.
What is a jobber?
He didn't sign a contract because he also was an actor at the time. So he also did like stunt work and some acting. He was in Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone and Lionheart with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
So he's the guy who plays that, you know, biker gang bodybuilder in those movies. And I think the Superman character Lobo is based off of your dad.
No, but it's very similar.
But very similar, basically.
Yeah. No, he plays like a biker in Stone Cold with Brian Bosworth.
And he's like, "Hey, man, how's it going?"
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Does your dad actually talk like that when the cameras aren't rolling?
His line in Over the Top is, "You hawk." Like, that's his opening line. And he's like, what about it? He's like, nothing. I hear you're the man to beat. Like, and this is,
you know, I hear you're the man to beat.
But yeah, he can't talk. Yeah. He has like a California kind of accent. And yeah, he's not that gruff anymore. It's mellowed out a little bit.
He's
like,
I hear you're the man to beat, Cody.
Nah, it's more like, hey, dude, what's up, man? Yeah.
So when you were a kid, like, did your dad be like, you know, it's time to go put some iron, Cody? And you're like, all right, Dad, I'm just going to play World of Warcraft.
Yeah, no, he's always been pretty good about like being supportive and helping out, but also realizing that we're not him. Because my brother and I are both. I mean, my brother does marathons now, and I'm working out. But like, you know, he was
because you're gay.
If we asked him to help out, well, also I just have body issues, which I guess is because I'm gay. If we asked him to like help with working out, he would help out. But he was never like, I'm going to make you a miniature version of me, ever.
That's a shame. I can imagine all the kids are like, you know, big famous bodybuilding or wrestling legends.
Yeah.
Their kids are like, I don't want to be a miniature version of your dad.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing you can tell somebody who has millions of fans adoring them, you know?
I did consider going into wrestling either as a writer or I wanted to be a manager when I was a kid. He wanted me to be an announcer if I was going to do it because they make more money.
I can picture you being an announcer.
Yeah, but I wanted to be a manager. I wanted to play a character. The announcers aren't really characters.
So when you're like 12 years old, like, Dad, I want to be a manager.
Yes, I sounded exactly like Mickey Mouse when I was a child.
Like, son, come on.
Dad, I want to be a manager. That was me when I was 12.
You're drunk. Yeah. Come over here and drink some coffee. You got to get into the ring.
I mean, that's basically just Paul Bearer. Yeah.
And so now you're moving to L.A. and you're going to be joining
at the end of the year.
Gold's Gym in Venice Beach. And
probably.
There's a picture of your dad at that gym hanging.
Yep, as far
there.
As I understand it. I haven't gone there.
They put it in the bathroom over the
it's toilet. It's like somewhere on the wall over there. Yeah. Yeah, that's because that's the same gym that he got in a fight with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Magic
he got
Johnson.
Into a fight with
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, they had a feud.
What was the fight about?
Arnold Schwarzenegger made fun of my dad's shirt.
Of course he did. What was it? What was the shirt?
It was like this weird, like, I think it was like satin or something, and it had epaulettes. Like, it was real. It was the 80s.
Looks like you're ready for marching band.
I'm not here to defend my dad's fashion sense. He was making fun of his shirt to like a group of other bodybuilders because Arnold would go and like hold court at the Golds.
Yeah.
My dad was like, saw him as kind of like an asshole because like my dad was like one of the people who like he's part of like the morning crew and like would be there at 4:30 in the morning and was just like a hard, like, keep your nose down, work hard kind of guy. I mean, like, you know, jobber, stuff like that. So he just thought he was a jerk. So, yeah.
Aww. And why did Magic Johnson get involved in this fight?
That was a different fight. That wasn't really a fight. It was they called Magic to the front desk over the speakers, and so
Magic Johnson.
No, just Magic.
Oh, and
that was your dad's name. They both came.
They both showed up, and my dad, like, you know, it was like half jokingly. It was just like, I'm letting you borrow the name, but remember, it's mine first, or something like that. I don't know. My dad says a lot of weird.
Magic Johnson is so rich.
Yeah,
he is so.
I mean,
my dad.
My dad's a weird. Like, my dad got one of, I think, the role in Stone Cold. He walked into the room to audition and threw the script in the trash and then just went, if I don't get this part, I'm going to murder every single person in this room, and got the part. And so, like, when I was working on acting, he would tell me that story as like, you should do that. And I'm like, that was the 80s. You were an action character, and I am not you. If I walked into a room and I was like, you need to give me this part or I'm going to murder everybody, they'd be like, you need to leave.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the crazy guy out of here.
If you don't give me the part of funny gay sidekick 3, I'm gonna kill everybody.
I'm gonna cut your wigs in the middle of the night.
I don't know what that would be. But anyway,
what's going on with your podcast, Tomfoolery? What's your latest
Tomfoolery? We're actually hitting our 5-year anniversary at the end of this month. So we did a special live episode. It's going to be a two-parter. We're releasing one on the 31st and then one on the 1st. We did two New World Order books. We did Alex Jones, the crazy conspiracy theorist, radio host, and then we did David Icke, his new book. David Icke's the British guy who is the one that popularized the concept that the world is run by reptilian alien overlords. That's David Icke. So we did two of those books past guests of the show, like favorites and stuff. And then, and so that's coming up.
What's the gift for the 5-year anniversary?
5-year anniversary is wood is the classic one. So here's some wood.
Well, we come full circle back to the penises.
Send your dick pics to Cody Melcher.
You can tweet them.
At Cody Melcher SQ or CodyMelcher@gmail.com if you so wish, I guess. Here we are.
Mark, you like getting dick pics from the
You can mail at feastoffun.com.
I much prefer torso pics, to be honest.
Yeah.
When I masturbate, I look at like shirtless guys and read erotica.
Okay. And if you want to send us something, hopefully that's not a biohazard, you can do so at feastoffun, 5315 North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60640. And if I'm going too fast, you can just go find our mailing address at feastoffun.com/contact. Mm-hmm. Like the Jodie Foster movie where she finds her dad in outer space. Spoiler alert.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. That's where you can send anything for me.
Scruff McGruff.
Send me anything to Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois.
Does that really work?
That's where they told you to send stuff to Scruff McGruff.
Who is Scruff McGruff?
He's the crime dog.
What would you get?
You just send him letters about how much you enjoyed
crime love
fighting.
Ratting on my neighbors.
Yeah.
My neighbor came home drunk last night, Scruff.
What should I do?
Yeah. That was a weird ad campaign, right? It was like, only you can take a bite out of crime.
It's still around. Scruff McGruff's still going strong. He outlived D.A.R.E., I think. I don't think the D.A.R.E. program
is going to bring D.A.R.E. back now that we have Trump in office. So like, which let's is, bring this program back that we spent all this money on that didn't really do any good.
Yeah, what a greatly successful program D.A.R.E. was. All of my friends are on drugs. I think I have two friends that aren't on drugs.
It put the idea in people's heads to do drugs.
I mean, it's also just like the concept of drugs changed.
Well, I've observed this, that parents who usually neglect their children, they're kind of like right-wing, you know, anti-vaxxers. They don't care that their kids are like what they're doing in school or their kids are knowledgeable. But I've been reading like on forums. So a lot of the young kids who are into like building their own computer or doing electronics work at home, their parents are like, you're using drugs because they find the modeling glue that they use and they think it's heroin or something. Because you're using like hypodermic needles to insert things into like, you know, glue into model airplane parts. Right. And they're just like, I'm so disappointed in you. And I'm just like thinking these parents could not care less that their kids are super intelligent, super knowledgeable on this very, you know, esoteric field of knowledge.
Right.
And they're all they care is that their kids aren't doing drugs. And I'm like, you can still be a loser and not do drugs. You know,
I mean, it's so sad if you think about it. If they cared more about their children, we could have gotten augmented reality dick rulers a lot sooner. Yeah. You know, that could have been invented way earlier.
Well, that's one thing that people ask us is like, why isn't tomorrow's technology been invented yesterday? And part of it is like, you know, the world we live in is a continuation of a conversation that we're having. We put out new ideas, new technology, and we look at it and we examine it. And then we grow and learn from that and build new podcasts, new phones, new cars, and new ideas out there.
Right.
And without what we've done in the past, we can't build the future.
Right.
It's not like we're just like holding back on the best amazing thing that's happening tomorrow in order to release it today.
Right. You can't paint with the colors of the wind if there is no breeze.
Aww. That's so beautiful.
It's a very sweet sentiment.
Pull my finger. Thank you so much, Cody Melcher.
Oh, thank you all.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.